First off, man, like, man, we appreciate you coming on the show. Like I said, man, big fans of your game.
Appreciate it.
When we first got in the league, playing against you in Vancouver, then you get to Sacramento and start kicking our ass every time we seen you.
One.
But, you know, we always followed your career, man.
I appreciate that.
But we appreciate you coming
on. Appreciate you having me on, man. Been waiting a long time to get on, man.
We made it happen.
Yeah.
When you first got to the league, who was the first person to bust your ass?
John Karate used to fuck me up.
Karate. I knew Karate. He was in Utah?
No, he might have been in Seattle, I think.
Okay.
But he used to fuck me up.
Karate.
I'm looking at him like, oh, he ain't gonna do nothing. He was herky jerky, and Van Axel, I was never a defensive player.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Quick was tough to guard, too.
Nick the Quick,
that left hand.
Yeah. And
special.
When he was in L.A., yep. That was tough, too, man.
Yo, 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 we live on location. Beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, 2023 NBA Summer League. We are here. You see the views and vibes. We at the XS Nightclub inside the Encore at Wynn Las Vegas. And we are here. I got the blackest one.
You know it.
He in here chilling with me. We got a very special guest, man. We got Arizona's finest, y'all. You know
Bucket
what I'm talking
getter.
About? National champion, one of the best. Hey, and one of the original members of the Team Jordan family,
Straight
bro.
Up.
We got Mike Bibby in the building chopping game with us. Don't be surprised. Y'all might hear a little sounds. We got the views and vibes, man. We got the beautiful pool right here. We appreciate the hospitality, but you might hear a little bit of something. You know, people having a good time. We having a good time here, too, though. We got Bibby. Let's do it.
Born in Jersey, but you grew up in AZ.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you was born in Jersey.
I didn't know you was born in Jersey.
So my dad was playing for the Sixers.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I think he was driving through, like driving back from a game or something. And my mom went into labor. I don't know why my mom was traveling like that anyway, about to go into labor. But she went into labor on the way back to Philly.
Mm.
So I had to be born in New Jersey.
Wow. Oh, that's
why I never knew.
Shadow Mountain High. So just tell us about growing up in Arizona, when you start picking up the ball and kind of.
I always had a ball in my hand, like even when I was younger, maybe like 10, 11, I was the biggest guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You was the biggest guy.
I thought I was going to be like 6'5". I was like, I'm going to be 6 because my arms are so long.
Yeah.
I played center. Defensively,
yeah,
but I played point guard offense,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So I had number 53, I was the biggest kid on the team, and just stuff hilarious. Like that. And I just played ball in my hand my whole life. My dad played, so I was just always around basketball. But I knew I'd start taking it more serious when I got to high school and just stuck to basketball and just started playing basketball, man.
What do you remember those early years of your pop? Opportunity to be on the Grizzlies, and he was assistant coach, man. He one of the coolest dudes I ever met. But tell us some of them early memories of your pops just being a hooper. And
it was just, I mean, I was kind of toward the end of his career. So I look at film and now I'm like, damn, you were terrible. And, he hustled a lot. He could shoot and stuff. But it was like he was away working a lot, man.
Yeah.
So I was at home. You know, getting raised by my mom, and he was gone working all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he came back around. He wanted me to go to Southern California with him because he got the job at USC.
Yeah.
And I already made my decision to go to, you know, Arizona. So, I mean, nothing was going to change that. I didn't want to be far from home.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be, you know what I mean? I didn't want
close
to be
enough,
home.
Yeah.
So I could just drive back and stuff. So it was about an hour drive back home.
In high school did it click that you felt that you was a good player to go to a college like Arizona or something like that?
Probably I got put on varsity when I was a freshman. I didn't want to play varsity. I wanted to, you know, play freshman, play with my friends and stuff. But I didn't really play that much my freshman year until like the end. And then I scored like 21 points in one game. Then I think coach realized like, oh, shit. Like,
you got one.
Yeah. So He used to do the Paul Westhead. So he'll play five players for 4 minutes, and next five come in. But I wasn't in that 10 fit. I was like the last guy. You know, I was the youngest. He was kind of older coach. You know, played the older guys first, and my mom. My next year, my mom was like, "Look, if he ain't coming back, if this is how it's going to happen next year," and next thing you know, it was four people coming out the game instead of five. So I realized, like, I could go somewhere with this. You know, I was average 23 when I was a sophomore, and then they just started going. I started getting more and more letters. I'm like, okay, this might take me somewhere.
What about like ranking wise? Like, you know, because like your class is some dogs in your class.
We had I remember it was between me and Shaheen Holloway to be the top point guard.
Shaheen Holloway.
And back then, they wanted to be a New York guy so bad.
Yeah. At point.
Yeah. And like I don't think he could overpass me.
Yeah.
So 'cause I'm from Arizona. Then people was like, no one could play from Arizona.
From Arizona.
Yeah, no one could play from Arizona. So that was the point for us. Like we always used to go back and forth. I only played against him. In the McDonald's game, that's the only time I ever faced him.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Nike camp, played against Mateen Cleave. Mateen Cleave bust my ass out there. You know, I never didn't even know who Mateen Cleave was. Mm-hmm. He came out, I think being out there put his name on the map too. But I never got a chance to play against Shaheen Holloway. But it was just good to be ranked like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It was like Streets and Smith. It was black and white we used to have to see. You couldn't see it on the phones and on Instagram. Yeah. It was black and white. But the Street and Smith and all that stuff. When you first seen your name in the ranking nationally, how was that for you?
It was humbling because I never really looked at myself like that. Yeah. You know, I thought I was a pretty good player, but when you start getting put in the top five in the country, it kind of makes you feel a certain way. And I kind of walked around with a little chip on my shoulder, talked a little too much shit, you know, like my sophomore, junior year. And then, you know, my mom just told me, like, Jay, just shut up and play. And then that's what I got. The motor, just go out there, bust my ass. Figure like it's something I was supposed to do, bust people's ass. Figure I just go out there and do it.
Yeah.
How was it when you got, you know, like you said, you talked about the McDonald's game, when you got to that point where you top five in the country, every school probably recruiting you, like, how did that feel like when you were at your high school and like you said, you overcame, like, nobody from Arizona can't hoop and all this, mm-hmm. and you showing and proving all of that?
It felt good. You know what I mean? Like, even still, people were like, oh, he can't play. Even after I still went out and proved and stuff. So just to prove people wrong, it felt good. But I just played basketball. It was just like second nature to me. I've been around so long, and I just played. Like back then, I played basketball. I never really was in the gym working,
right.
You know, but I'd always be at the park and then leave that park and go to the next park. So I was always playing. Whether you're in small hoop or whatever, but
that's what I did. I didn't really do a bunch of drills. I always just hoop.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Then people don't play no more.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Trainers, Instagram and videos.
Yes.
When you heard you made the McDonald's game, like, how was that for you?
It was good. You know, you always watching on TV, and you know, I was just happy, like I said, to be a part of, like the top five we had, like Kobe Bryant. Lester Earl, Ronnie Fields, Lester Jermaine Earl, O'Neal. Yeah. Ronnie Fields was tough too. I remember. He was. We was at the Nike camp, and we're watching dunk contest, and he's laying on the floor next to me, and they called his name, and he got up, and I never seen him jump like that. And he got up and just did a windmill off, no warm up, boom, and came and sat back down. But I was like. It was just, you know, it's bad that he hurt his neck, and everything. Yeah. I think he would have been. A long time NBA player, too.
Tell me this, like, when you got to that McDonald's game, did Kobe stand out as being, like, super special right then when you saw him?
Or
could y'all see that in practice and just, what you had saw leading up into that game?
His demeanor was just the way he was in the NBA is the same way he was back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just you see the video of him and Rip, and, like, he was, you know, still teaching Rip some stuff back then. But, I mean, you could just see in his demeanor that he was all about business. Even back then.
Yeah. When you seen him go straight out of high school, because, you know, this fairly new to the guys. You were just playing with him in the McDonald's game, and you see, like, him and J.O.
Yeah. I mean, but it's good, to be a part of that class. You know what I mean? Like I said, just have two high schoolers, you know, top whatever they went. It was good to see, you know, kind of be like, okay, I'm part of that class. I'm part of
one. I done played on the court. Yeah. I'm a leaguer, too. Yeah.
I'm in a good class. Even, like, Stack went out from high school too. We had a few players that they were all on the East team, but they all went, you know, they all went to the draft. So
I know your pops wanted you to come to Cali and you chose Arizona, but could there have been anybody else that almost got you?
UCLA was probably two.
Yeah.
And then maybe Duke was three, but Duke was way too far for me to go. I wasn't even thinking about that, but
yeah.
It was, you know, I have a top three. That was my top three.
Yeah.
Hmm.
One of my favorite coaches is Lou Holtz. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time you see him, he's like the same person with the same smile, with the same personality.
Yeah, and
perfectly
yeah.
swung right. To play for a coach like that, like, and I always hear players just rave about him and how good a person he is. How was that for you?
It was good, because going in, you know, they were already established and stuff like that. And, you know, he let it be known that I was going to be starter coming in just after practice and stuff. And just everything, I mean, not even the stuff on the court is what made him a good guy. Like, off the court, he cared about you. You know, you go in there and talk to him anytime you wanted. Tell him anything, and he treated you like he was one of, like you were one of his kids, and that's what made it so easy to go there. And his wife Bobby, rest in peace, she even made it easier. You know, I was a mama's boy back then, and she just made it easy.
Yeah, made you comfortable.
Yeah.
To make them run, Arizona, to make the run for the championship. Come on, man. No disrespect, but nobody had Arizona.
We were trying to. The funny thing is,
winning that zone.
We went, I think we went 500 in the Pac-10 back then. So we were like, damn, I hope we get in the tournament. You know, we end up getting a four seed, and we almost ended up losing the first two games to College of Charleston and maybe South Alabama. And it was just tough, you know. Then Coach Olsen comes out and tells me, like, Mike, I need you to be you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was passive. I'm a freshman playing with juniors and sophomores.
Right, yeah.
I'm passive. And so he was like, I need you to be you. And that's when I kind of switched in my head, like, okay.
Yeah.
And then we played Providence, I think, first. Either Providence or maybe Kansas. And that's when I was like, okay, this is what I got to do. And that's when it clicked for me.
How was that? That, like, because NCAA is one of the best tournaments ever in basketball history. How was that to win that tournament, go through the steps and the rounds, see how the whole world is watching you?
It was good because, like you said, no one expected us to be there.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like we had nothing to lose. So getting there and just go out there and play. They expect the other team to win. Okay, Kansas was supposed to beat us. And then Providence was supposed to beat us. And then North Carolina is supposed to, and so we end up going. So we really had nothing to lose. So we're just out there playing free.
How was after the championship the campus? And
the campus was crazy. I mean, we had a parade. Like when we got back, so we got paraded all the way from the airport to the facility. And then we got to go into the football stadium, and all the fans were there.
Wait! What was that from the airport to the facility? What was that action like?
It was just everybody was just on the street.
Pandemonium.
But we were like sitting in convertibles, like on top of convertibles, and there were just lines. I mean, we're probably going like 2 miles per hour, and just shaking everybody's hand. They were lined up all the way to the facility. There's not really much out there besides the U of A sports. So
how did you feel about, like, your NBA rankings now? You know, you're a champ. You know, everybody on that team, when you're a champ, everybody on that team started getting their rankings go high for draft and all that stuff.
See, people wanted me to come out after my freshman year. I wasn't ready. I knew I wasn't ready. So, I knew I had to come back and, you know, probably put more work in. And once I did that, and I had a really good sophomore year, and I knew I was ready. Like, it's time to go.
So that was after you came back and had a more veteran, like, because, like, I remember how your freshman year and how you came back your sophomore year, it was more like, this my shit. Like, I'm one of them.
I had a lot of confidence. Yeah, I mean, it was just, and like I said, the work I put in made me feel like that. Like, any shot that I took and I missed, I'm like, I shouldn't miss that. You know what I mean? Just because I, just by how much work I put in. So you, when, before I got to U of A, I wasn't really known as a shooter. I could score. I could score from anywhere. But then once I got to U of A, I worked out with Josh Pastner, and he helped me with my shot, and then I became known as, oh, he's a shooter. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was ready to go. I mean, I got Pac-10 Player of the Year, All-American team. So, you know, nothing else for me to do.
How did your draft process go through? Like, how many teams you had to work out for?
I worked out for the Clippers. That was it. Like,
you only worked out for one team?
I had David Falk. David Falk was my agent. So he, they got the first pick. You're working out for the Clippers. I'm not going to let you work out for nobody else. Yeah. So I was like, shit, all right. So I went to the Clippers, worked out, had a pretty good workout too. They gave me like a duffel bag of Clippers stuff. So I'm like, they got to be picking me.
Yeah, they give you all this gear.
All of what can be.
Yeah, and so we get to the draft, and they still didn't know up until the draft. So like the day of the draft, he was like, they still don't know. It's like the morning of the draft. So like at 2 hours before the draft happens, he's like, they're going to go with Olu Bukandi.
Did you ever hear of Olu Bukandi before?
No, I have not.
You never heard of him before?
No.
You were like, where the fuck did he come from?
They said he was 7 foot. They said, so I don't know. But
at Pacific.
Yeah. And I think he only had like a couple years playing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
yeah. He had just started playing ball.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's probably better that I didn't go to. I mean, I think everything happened for a reason, man. And we went up. Vancouver ended up taking me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 19 years old.
How was that? Because, like, Vancouver had the second pick, and my mama told them, like, nah, you pick. Steve Francis just told y'all no last year.
No, he was a year. He was a year after me.
He was a year after you. So I was the year after that, and my mom was like, nah, we ain't going to Vancouver, so they shouldn't pick him.
That's what I went. So I went up. After I realized they had the second pick, he's like, you can go number two. I was like, I don't want to be in Vancouver. I don't, you know, you always dream of playing in the state, or like a Lakers or the Bulls, you know, that's what you dream of. And being in Vancouver, I was like, oh my. I went up and talked to him. I told him, I said, nothing against you guys or the city or the franchise, but I don't want to play here.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to pick you anyway. So I was like, damn, I don't want to seem like that. So, you know, I did it, played my time. And like I said, I got traded to Sacramento. So Micah Heisley, the owner, was like, you know, we're moving to a new place and we're probably going to start over. So where would you like to go? So I gave him five of my top teams. And he's like, where's the number one place you want to go? And I told him Sacramento. And like the next draft, I'm in the work. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm working out. And they're like, you got traded to Sacramento. I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
I went to my car. I called from Sac. You know, you get traded, you get a call from one team and the other team you're going to. So I was like, oh, shit, it happened.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing that ever happened.
I was doing a movie in Vancouver, and I got a chance to just be in Vancouver for about 3 months. Everybody in Vancouver loved you, your crew, your family, everybody, team Dime this, team, you know what I'm saying? Like, just how was I had time to spend over there. How was it just living in Vancouver? I know it was different, but it's a good living. It's real cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, but I never got to see the summer.
Yeah.
You know, I was always there.
Get the hell home.
And it was rain. Like, I'm from Arizona, so I see rain probably 15 days out the year.
Yeah.
So going there and being in there raining every day, cold. I'm like, man, I don't know. You have to go through customs every time you leave and come back.
Yeah, definitely do.
And I mean, it was just at 19, 20 years old, like it was tough. Yeah, and I had a family. My fiance was with me. I have my oldest son. I'm my oldest child, and he's 25 now. But he was with us, having him out there being, you know, a year old is tough, and you know, just traveling and stuff. It was hard for me.
Tell us about Team Dime, because when I went to Vancouver, folks were still repping Team Dime. Everywhere I go, like, it was just Team Dime this, Team Dime that.
We kind of put our mark in kind of the cities that we went, and you know, like I said, it all started with my older brother, and he was like, he's very outgoing and welcomes a lot of people in. Yeah. And so if you see a lot of people, a lot of them was from him letting a lot of people in.
Yeah.
And my brother's very street, so it was like kind of, we had a lot of street people with us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, it's just a lot of his family. You know, a lot of people think like, oh, you have this and that. But you look at a lot of people that be with us, it would be cousins or it would be.
Yeah, because let's get this correct. Because, you know, like, Team Dime, it sounds like that, but a bunch of good people just coming together and just if they see you and be like, hey, team down, you know he's safe.
Yeah,
he's looking out for you. Oh, no, man, when I was in Vancouver, them guys was like, team down. Every time they seen me, they was just looking out for
me. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Tell me this. How was it for you? Like, you one of the inaugural members of the Jordan brand, like the first time that Mike said, okay, they going to give him a team or whatever, a Jumpman, Jordan brand, whatever it was when it first started. What was it like when you got that call? Did you understand what exactly was happening at the time? What was all of that like? How did that play out for you?
It was good because at first I was talking with Puma.
Mm-hmm.
And so Puma sent me a box. And, I mean, it was all like fluorescent. Like back then in the 90s, fluorescent colors weren't really in. You know what I mean? So it was like more soccer stuff they sent me.
Yeah.
They sent me a shoe that was like this long. That was a size 12. It looked like it was that long. And I told my aide, I said, I can't wear this. And so he's like, would you want to go with Jordan? I said, shit, yeah.
Heck yeah.
And it was done. Because we had the same agent, too.
Right,
so
it
was like a...
But did you understand what was happening? Because it's not like, all right,
this is
like
the
now
transition.
You can drive to somebody call you for Jordan, bro. They know exactly what's going on. But like at that point, did you really understand what it was? Like it was about to be what it was about to be?
You probably couldn't even understand.
Because
just like you getting the shoes and your color, you getting the name on the shoe. And I mean, it was just, it was fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Back then, you just say, hey, I need these, and they'll come next day. I mean, it was like that simple. You have as many shoes as you want to play in and stuff. I mean, like I said, you never know
you
until.
You're one of the guys that used to rock the low top.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, but I think that's what. So I think me and DA
are the low top originators. They are world. Y'all can be happy for some of your favorite Jordans to ever come out in
low top because of Bibby and DA.
Derek Anderson and Mike Bibby were the innovators and trendsetters with that.
It's crazy because I remember I asked him too. I'm like, can you make these in the low? I think they might have been the fives, and they're like, yeah, I think we can make them in the low. And ever since then, I was like, shit, whatever y'all can make in the low, and chop them. I'll take them. So, I mean, regardless, when you get that new color and you get the color that nobody got, you kind of the big man in the locker room. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I used to tell people, like, man, with Jordan Brand, I don't think no other brand do this. With Jordan Brand, your socks, your tank top, your drawers, your shirt, your jeans or your shorts, your whole wardrobe is Jordan.
Yeah.
Like you wear any other brand, like your shirt and your shorts might and your shoes might be, but not your
everything.
Everything. Like my grandmother was wearing Jordans at one point, you know. Like my mom was wearing Jordans at one point. Remember when they came out with the snakeskin pink jump?
Yeah.
Low top. Like,
yes. Like 11s.
That's how Jordan Brand come with it and take care of you.
There's not a time that I don't wear Jordan stuff. Like I have so much shit, it's like my closet, like I have five sections that is everything's Jordan. I mean that's I have nothing else.
Truly.
You know what I mean? It's like nothing else. But like I said, it's great to be a part of it. Yeah. Like once you're a part of it, you're always a part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the good part.
Talking about Joe, what do being a part of it mean to you? Being a part of, like, if you now as we done retired and you've seen who done came before, how it started, how it's kind of forming out, to be one of the ones that everybody know you as this. Like, everybody know me. Like, if I don't wear, I had some Yeezys on, they was like, huh. Like, I seen D. Miles, it was cool to see him, but he had them Yeezys on, and it was just like.
It just it ain't right. Like, you say, like.
Cause me, they.
Everybody, you know what I mean? They're like, all you guys even known as Jordan's guys as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just your guys' PEs, I look at like, damn, I wish they was my size. You know what I mean?
Everybody, I mean, that was see, like, that's
we
why,
see
like,
that purple and black on them jokes. Like,
our era of the Jordan brand was like, it was what a time to be alive. Like, it was for real. Like, that was like, you didn't have to be like one of the superstars, but we felt like we had our own shoes.
Yeah.
And it was of the best shoes that for us and of our, like, that was the most popular shoe of our generation. So for us to get our own rendition or our own
version,
you know, colorway of it, and you know, you get your nickname and your colors and all of this, then you get multiple pairs. Like, nobody can't mess with me right now. Like, when that shipment come to the locker room, forget about me. My teammates is anxious to see what's coming out of the box. Done. They like, hold on. It's a crowd. Here we go. What do you boys get? You know, anybody the way outside, like, hey, you already know. I'm right here. What's up? Like, it's like, that's the vibe that it used to be, because you didn't know how it was coming. It would be like, you genuinely was excited. And you and everybody else around is like,
But I wasn't even excited, like, I want to see what they got on tonight.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? You playing against somebody. Like, I wonder
how they did his colors for these shoes. Looking for you, boy.
I wonder which ones they chose this year. Because remember, you used to get the little preseason. They send you these, and you try them out, work out. Then you say, all right, I like these. I used to lie every time. I'm coming away with all of the renderings. I'm going to get the first three, then I'm going to come back. Like, man, these hurt my feet. I need y'all to come. But when you do it, do them in these colors. Don't do the same color. About to get a whole new setup coming through. Like vibe, boy. Like, you
gotta
learn how to jug a little bit.
But I mean, and you get more out of it too. I remember I went to I don't know if you guys were there yet. I went to a Nike spot. They had a closet of everybody's PE, so they were just sitting in there. And one of the guys that I was with was like, "Yeah, just go ahead in there, I took Ray Allen's, Jay Kidd's, DAs, I mean, I was getting in there trying to get as much as I could. Gary Payton's, I was doing all that shit, man. But like I said, like, just to get your hands on your guys' stuff.
Yeah.
Because we already got ours. So I want to get, I could never get it.
Get the other colors, The difference between you playing in Vancouver and the difference between you playing in SAC, what would you feel like the difference is? Because I know as the opposite team, it was like, damn, we done fucked up. He done got somewhere where he comfortable and you a threat.
The thing is, I never knew how I'd get taken by going there. By, you know, White Chocolate, Jace Williams was a big
fan
time thing out there.
Yeah, fan favorite.
To get traded, I didn't know how the team would take me. I didn't know how the fans would accept me. And fans and the team made it so easy. It felt like I'd been there for 10 years. So it just made it. It made it that easy
to have a team like that.
Sewell,
like Vladdy. I had a championship team. Doug Christie, like, y'all had all the pieces. Everybody knew their roles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how was that to have a championship team, to be in that era where y'all the ones that was competing for the championship?
It was fun. It was fun to see that. Tell you that.
This play away from.
I've never, because I was used to, back then, you throw in the post. It was different defensive rules, too. You throw in the post, go stand over there, they go double, you get the shot. Because we had Country.
Big Country, Reed. Brian Reeves,
So we always played inside out.
Yeah.
And so going there, I remember the first day of practice, I threw it in, and I run through. Ball, I had to duck because it was hitting me in the head.
Webb and Vadi throwing that ball.
So Coach Carrill, rest in peace, he was like, Mike, shit's going to hit you in the head. Make sure you turn around and look. Because Vancouver, you pass and just go run over there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So coming here and being there in Sacramento, and everybody could pass, and no one cared who. Yeah. We knew Webb was going to get his points every night, but out of everybody else, it might be your night tonight. Might be somebody else tonight, tomorrow. So it was good just to win. Yeah. You know, I won my whole life, and then going to Vancouver, I remember the lockout. We were starting out 4-4, right? Yeah. We end up 8-42. We had like 3 double-digit losing streaks in 50-game season. So, I mean, just going from losing all the time to winning, it was amazing.
Well, how about Adam and having the confidence in you? How was that?
He just let us play, and it was like he knew what we were capable of, and we held ourselves accountable. Yeah. That's what made it easier. It was never pointing fingers or it was this person's fault. So that's what made it so good, too.
Let me ask you this. Why was y'all – I ain't going to say why. How can I phrase it? Y'all play seemed like they was catered to you and Stojakovic.
It was more of just reads. You know what I mean? Cuts and just – like I said, we have probably 2 of the best big man passers that ever played. Just try to read stuff. That was it. That's why I think it was hard to kind of prepare for us, because you never – really knew what we were going to do.
Tell us about them wars y'all used to go to against with the Lakers. Lakers was the three-peat champions of the era, but they had to go through some wars to get there. It wasn't just a cakewalk. Just tell us, like, some of them series.
I had the best record in the league on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have, it was a championship that we should have got out of that, because game seven, we go to game seven, we shoot 2 for 13 from the three and under 50% from the free throw, and going to overtime. You know what I mean? So that just, I just shows you that I think, I know we were a better team that season. Yeah. Maybe the years before, years after, maybe not, but that year we were the best team, I think, in the league.
Yeah.
All the way around. But going there was just fun to play. You know, I was playing in front of all the movie stars and, you know, the raps and all that stuff. And just, you know, that gym is so damn quiet anyway. You could hear what anybody says to you.
Yeah.
And it was just good that, like, they used to get on me because I used to talk a lot of shit when I got out there. But I just hear stuff and just get me going. I love playing. Like, that's probably one of the best teams I love playing against, because I knew – going there, it's gonna be a movie.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's where you set your tone playing against the Lakers? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the massive fan bases, they really know who Mike Bibby is, because Mike Bibby was busting the Lakers' ass. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
is that where you feel?
It was. I just loved it. Like, I think so. You know what I mean? And then being a part of it, now we're winning. You can kind of strut a little bit harder and do a little bit more out there. But you know, going there, I love playing there. Like, I don't even know why.
Yeah.
But the basket just felt like it was so big.
Man,
when I was
Staples
there.
Center, man.
Yeah.
How was that for you, like, when you was in SAC? Like, you got Weber, who's the best player on the team. You go to start coming off all the screen, but at the end of the game, they want you to shoot the last shot.
I was fine with that. You know what I mean? It's either you're either gonna make it or miss. And I, like I said, I put enough work in, I expect to take I
results.
Took the shots over a million times, you know what I mean? And the one against the Lakers, the play was for Webb.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told him, if you don't have it and you give it to me, I'm gonna knock it down.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he had faith in me to even give me that ball.
Chris Webber, one of your teammates, he don't get the credit he deserves. He came up in the era where a lot of more power forwards were there, but just speak up on him and just tell us just how good he was and how good of a teammate he was.
He was probably the best player that I think I played with, you know, as far as he held himself accountable. You know, you get a lot of guys that, it wasn't me.
Right. And, finger pointers.
Yeah, and he would always be like, shit, that's my fault. And he had held himself accountable, and I think it trickled all the way down the line to, okay, shit, if he's the best player on the team, and he's doing that shit, we got to follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like I said, probably the best passer I played with.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one of the, I'd say, top five passers that ever played the game.
Big man.
Yeah.
Tell me this. How was it playing? Like, you know, we had Turk on, and y'all had that mystique. Like, y'all had, like, the little Euro connection with Peja, Turk, and Vlade. And Vlade was one of the best personalities. Like, what was it like being teammates with those guys and just seeing how they brought the thing? And then I know Turk was hilarious. I definitely got to get a Turk story. But, like, do you got any funny Vlade or Turk story? I feel like Peja was probably the biggest adult out of the three of them.
Yeah, I mean, but Vlade kind of showed me how to be like, when I went to Atlanta, I was kind of like Vlade, you know what I mean? And he's joking all the time. Joking. I went in the locker room one time to go to the bathroom. He was smoking a cigarette before the game. And I was like, somebody smoking. I just see him over there like, I said, there ain't no way, buddy. You smoking right before the game? He put it out and went out and played. But he's probably one of the best teammates, as far as no matter what kind of game he had, he was going to be the same person when the game was over.
Yeah.
Whether he scored 20-some points, no points, he's gonna be the same person, and that went a long way with me. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
How was Turk? Like, we got drafted together, and I know from rookie transition he spoke zero English.
Yeah,
how was Turk?
His English was still bad.
Hey, my boy.
Yeah, you really can't even understand him. He was speaking English, but I'd listen to him and just, Turk, and you can't understand you anyway. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're all good. They're all good guys. You know, Paige was kind of more the calmer one, chiller one.
That was the suit, man.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
the, that was the,
he wearing a suit
saying?
Everywhere. Yep.
How was it for you after, you know, you had established yourself in Sacramento and y'all had a great team for a lot of years there? How was it for you to get traded to Atlanta And it was mid-season. Talk about that. That's like one of the worst things. Not just getting traded, but getting traded in a damn middle of the season. But how difficult is that?
They were trying to trade me. So I was supposed to go. I talked to Kobe. I was supposed to go to the Lakers. Like,
really?
Like maybe 2 years before that. I talked to him, and he's like, we're going to try to get it done. And then I think the Maloofs didn't want to end up trading me like in the same conference or whatever. Then it was supposed to be Cleveland. The year I got traded in Atlanta, the year before that, I was supposed to go to Cleveland. It ended up not happening. Mm. Then I was supposed to go to Cleveland again the next year. And I went to sleep on All-Star break. I just got the phone from my agent. He's like, you know, you'll probably get traded to Cleveland probably after the All-Star break and you come back. So I'm asleep, and my son comes in. He's like, Dad, you just got traded. I'm like, nah, there's no way. I just got the phone with my agent. Dad, it's on ESPN. I called him in. I was like, Dave, they traded me to the Hawks?
Right.
He was like, no, wait. I said, Dave, that shit's on ESPN. He said, let me call you back. He's like, oh, shit, they did trade you. He said, there's the only, like, two trades I had that he didn't know about ever.
Right.
And so going to Atlanta, I had a different role there.
Yeah.
You know, so going there, I was an older guy. I kind of started getting more stuff like, hey, when we get in, let's go eat at the mall. Let's go eat at like California Pizza Kitchen. Everybody go sit. So everybody started doing stuff together more and getting camaraderie with everybody. And I think that's what made us a better team. Mm-hmm. You know, I took a different role. I took like a Vlade Divac role
going to the.
So I was fine with that. Yeah. You know, I know I didn't have much. I didn't know how much time I had left. And my thing was just try to make these guys have fun playing basketball, because you could look at them before, they weren't having fun.
Yeah.
You know, when I came there, I put in games during shoot around and stuff like that, just to get these guys like, shit, basketball is fun. We're with each other long enough. We got to make it fun.
Yeah. I had a good core, though, and put together a good run, like, for a nice little stretch of years. Like, how did you enjoy your time with that squad and that core unit y'all had in Atlanta with, you know, you, Joe, Josh? I mean, we played y'all, what year was that? I can't remember which year. We played y'all and shit. That was a tough squad.
It was fun. You know, like I said, I set a lot of screens out there. So now I'm playing a lot. I'm playing a different role, setting screens for Joe. Just a good game plan. Playing, I don't know, Mike Woodson was probably one of the best
Woody
coach I had as far as, like, he'll ask you how you feel. Like, he'd always come to me, like, how you feel today? Okay, the guys are tired. So I was kind of the voice of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're just going to shoot today. So it was just all the way good around, like, even the trainers to the
good
equipment
vibe.
Manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I feel I was a big part of that, not just specifically on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Off the court, I think I helped that team get gel and get closer and stuff, too.
Yeah. I thought you made an All-Star team in Sacramento.
Mm-mm.
I thought you should have made an All-Star team in Sacramento. Didn't you?
Crazy.
There was supposed to be, I think, like 2 years I thought I was going to make it.
Yeah.
And it ended up not happening. But, you know, I mean, I did, you know what I mean? It's not everything's not all about being an All-Star, all NBA. I had fun. I was blessed by playing, doing a thing that I wanted to do and fulfilling my dreams. So I was cool with that.
You played with the Knicks during Linsanity. Like, tell me what that was like to experience and see. And, like, you was actually on a team when it happened. Like, so you saw the crowds. You saw how everything went
crazy,
from here
bro.
To, like, out of this world. Like, tell me about that whole transformation and what that was like seeing it happen.
So this is how it happened. So, you know, me and Baron Davis started point guard.
Mm-hmm.
We both 35, 34 years old.
Right.
So we play the Warriors, so they bring him in because I think either Baron might have been hurt. So they brought him in to back me up. And so I got hurt that game. So they were going to let him go before we went back, but they didn't have no point guard no more. So they ended up keeping him, and we go there. And it was like, I tell everybody this all the time, it was like angels in the outfield. Like the way, I mean, like, just watch.
How he was going.
Yeah, and it was just like the way the ball would hit the rim and go in, and I could hit the side and roll up, and I was like, it's some angels in the outfield shit. Like, this shit, like, like, what, like, there's some crazy shit going on, but, like, he was out there, he was killing.
Getting busy.
He was killing people, and it was just to see, like, I mean, the Garden was rocking. They had his jerseys. They took everybody else's jersey out and had his jersey in it. So they took Melo's out. They took, like, Stoudemire's
what
out.
What was that like to experience, like from a team perspective, like, to watch this phenomenon happening and then just to see how the whole world was responding to it?
It was crazy. I mean, like, it's like you can't even explain it.
Nothing you've ever seen.
There's nothing, because I'm over there like, everybody's like, oh, dang.
Man didn't even have an apartment at this point. He was living on the one homie's house.
He wasn't supposed to leave. they were about to send him home, but we were hurt. You know what I mean? So they were the only point guard we really had. And so they used Shump for a little bit, but he came in, and, I mean, I don't think anybody expected that to happen at all. You know what I mean? I still think it was Melo's team. And I think once D'Antoni left and then Mike Woodson kind of like hit Melo, this your squad. So it kind of, you know, fell off after that.
What did it mean to you when you have your peers, like guys that appreciate your game, the way you played the game and you carried yourself and just how you played the game, and especially like up and down the West Coast of seeing the kids from California all the way to Arizona?
Mm-hmm. It feels good. You know, like you see younger players now today that come up and shake my hand, and it's just a good to be a part of the NBA at a good time. You know what I mean? And show that, like you said, I wasn't an all-star, but I thought I had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
And that's the best feeling in the world.
Now, the way your game is, what would you be doing to these folks right now?
Boy, if you, with all that freedom at the guard spot.
You come off the screen pulling that thing.
I'd be having fun. I know that. I'm looking at it now. I'd be having fun. I know that.
Straight up.
Hey, tell me this. When, like, this is one of the things, like, as a Jordan Brand athlete, right, you notoriously known for one of the ones that got the craziest collection. We talked and laughed about the secret stash at the crib. Like, when you first started getting those huge boxes and packages, like, where did your mind go? And then when did you come up with the idea that I'm going to take?
Like, I'm going to keep all this shit.
I'm going to keep everything. I'm going to create this stash spot that is legendary, just like the most secret sneaker stash spot, and we know that you go out of your way to make sure you get the most elite thing. So when did it get to become like I feel like for you, this is a passion. So like, tell me, like, when did you get super, super passionate? And like, I consider you like a real sneakerhead. I don't consider myself a sneakerhead. Mm-hmm. So when did it get like that for you?
I grew up with not much, you know what I mean? So like, to get at the best shoe,
right.
Mm-hmm. With one phone call, anytime you want, it was a dream come true, man. But like ever since then, like I see the boxes come in. It was like be like 15 boxes. You know, when you get that elite pack, everything's in there.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like socks, do-rags. You're getting stuff that you probably won't even wear, but you're getting everything. And I just like, you know what? Back then I'd be like, okay, I have a shoe that will come in. I like, send me 10 of those. And they'll send me 10 pair, and next day, boom, put them up. If I like a shoe, I need 10 of them, and put them up. If 15 of them, put them up. And that's I just
probably wear two of them. And
I probably did one. I put all of them in there. Mm. I get one, and I beat mine up. So I beat mine up. So my son gets mad at me like, "Dad, ain't no way you wearing those still." Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna wear them. Don't wear them.
Just know I got crispy. If I want to.
Do any of your kids wear the same size?
My son does, and he. He's in my closet every day. Dad, you ain't gonna wear these. You can't have them. You cannot have them.
He don't even go to the store and shop.
Ladies and gentlemen, when he say you can't have them, I believe that he is not giving them joints to like, no, you cannot.
I wear a size 18. Like, I never had to share my shoes with nobody. Like, in the hood, I left my shoes outside in front of the school. And when I came back the next day, them shoes were still outside in front of the school.
Getting them damn skis.
So now my son wore 18. I said, man, I ain't never in my life had to share shoes with nobody, man.
He was 18? How old is he?
15.
Dang.
Yeah, he was inside 18.
I was with my son.
Dang.
Yeah. So.
See, all my boys, I mean, it don't matter if they were 11. They wearing that size.
I'm sure you see it just like we see it. When you hear everybody talking about, you know, oh, man, the Jordan athletes, man, top five is Bivy, you know, or Ray or whoever. Like, I want to know, like, forget about it, because we know, as the guys, we know that everybody had crazy, crazy, crazy heat. I still say all time Ray is the GOAT because he had those championship runs in the brand. They do excellent when they know you're going to go deep into the playoffs, so you be ready. And then the championship packs, ring like pack, like Ray is unchallenged. But for you, just personally, not about everybody else, like for you, what's your starting five of like your favorite PEs you had? Because you got stupid, crazy he, and you got the slant that you was the, when you and DH changed him to the low top. So like, mm-hmm. if you just had to like think back and like, man, you had the Sacramento wave, you had the Atlanta wave, you mm-hmm. had a different, some different, like just what's your top five shoes you think you, that you like if you had to pick?
I'd go with the nines first.
Which
patent leather, Sac.
Sacramento.
Yeah, I'll go with the five, Sacramento. Two, Atlanta.
I remember those.
Two in Atlanta. I had 12, Sacramento, purple, and then I have to go 12, Atlanta.
Yeah. Now, as you said, I just thought about it, but like, nah, because them people sleep on the twos, bro. They don't get enough respect. I had twos in L.A. and New York.
Yeah.
Fucking fire.
Yeah.
Crazy. Both of them, New York and L.A., crazy.
What was the first low top shoe
yeah,
you got?
Yeah, when did you start that? What was the first shoe you kicked that off with?
I think it might have been the fives. I'm thinking it's the fives. I remember looking at them, and I was like, can you make these into a low? And he was like, yeah, I think we can. And then they cut into a low. So I was like, shit. If you get shit, you might be able to make everything in low.
Low eights and everything.
Yeah.
Why lows? Because we so scared to twist our ankles and you went low.
I don't know. I mean, just try to be different, I think. You know what I mean? I just.
Were they lighter or something?
Nah, but I can't believe, like, I put my shoe in them now. Because, you know, you have to put an insole in them. I don't even know how my foot was coming out, like, would come out. I don't know how my foot even stayed in. Like, that's how low they were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think I just wanted to be different. Like, you know what? Let me check and see if
you get
these.
You used to get your
little
ankles taped?
Yep.
You get the ankles taped.
Light, though. It was light. I didn't really want to have. I always get light just to have
light
something
tape,
on.
Light tape, yeah.
How is it for you to, like, you know, you coach your sons, your nephews, you got, you know, you and Eddie House are family now. He got sons and just hooping and balling. When did you decide, like, I'm going to become a coach, like have a program and coach in high school? Like, when did you make that decision?
I coached my son since he was nine. So I had an AAU team since he was nine. And my thing was to just make sure these kids get taught the right way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Regardless if he's my son or not, you know, make the right play. And mm-hmm. so I did that with all the kids, like, even in high school. Boom, I don't care what you do. When I ran my high school, we ran it kind of like a college program. We watch film. We have shoot around. This is three ways we're going to play this guy. That one guy scores 20-something points. He sees two people every time. So we shoot around. Classes, if you're messing up in class, you got to go to study hall before practice. So we did all that stuff and to get them ready for the next level. And we play. We're the only public school to ever play in Geico National Championship. We played there twice. Nobody over 6'5". Mm-hmm. But we were top team in the country, and it was just that these kids bought into what I was saying and knew that I was trying to help them.
Yeah.
So that made it a lot easier.
How dope is it to have the success you had at your alma mater, go back to the same, you know what I'm saying, high school you went to and become like a powerhouse? Like,
it was
crazy
fun.
Record, 140-6, 6 out of 7 state championships. Like,
we
what
won like
the,
70,
like, y'all
we won 75
a lot of
games. We won 75 games in a row.
75
in state,
straight.
In state. So, like,
that's world domination in the states.
We played in all the tournaments. We played against James Wiseman, Isaac Okoro, Shreve Cooper. We played against all the, I'm taking them to play against all these guys. So when we come back and play these regular public schools, we winning by 60 points, 70 points, and just, you know, I mean, it just got them prepared to win those championships.
In Arizona, you kind of was part of that first wave of guys who started pushing pros out left and right after y'all got it's at now.
And that's what I was saying. Like, they didn't think people from Arizona could play. And I think once I came out of there, they started looking a little bit more. Because there was only two AAU teams out there.
Yeah.
And so we were all kind of on the same one.
Yeah.
And so, like, growing up younger. But it's good to see everybody, a lot more people coming out of there, you know?
When you watched the playoffs this year and you seen the beam, how the fans was crazy, or that first Golden State game when the fans crazy, did that give you like goosebumps and chills or memories of when you was
great
in there?
Memories.
And the fan base was doing that?
The fans, I mean, that's probably wherever I played, that's probably the best fans that I've seen.
Cowbells, bro. I remember like, how was that for y'all? Like, when did that start? Like, when, like,
I think it started when we were playing the Lakers.
So, like, what did y'all as a team think? Like, what the hell is they got cat? Like, what?
Like,
how
is
that?
Place is rocking. That's like, what we were thinking.
That was the one thing. It was fever pitch loud. That was the one thing you always remember about Arco. That bit, it was loud as hell in that. Like,
that's the reason why I wanted to go there, because I remember, you know, the end of the season, I'm with the Grizzlies. They won 20 games out of 82. You know?
Yeah, you know.
So you're going in there. We played Sacramento. I think we played them twice my last game of the season. So we were all ready to go home anyway. And I walk into the stadium and it's packed. Like 18,000 people in there. I'm like, this is where I want to play. Because I'm, you know, when we go to these other places, you know, you get 7,000 people in there. Ain't nobody want to see it.
And they were a crazy good team.
Yeah. And so going there and seeing 18,000 people in the stands to watch them play the Grizzlies in the last game of the season. This somewhere where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a start bench trade for you.
Mm-hmm.
Dame Lillard, Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry.
Start. You got to start Steph Curry.
Too many chips.
Yeah. Then Dame. Well,
let me take Steph out since you just. AI.
Oh. I'm going with AI. I got to start AI. AI, you know, he's changed a lot of stuff for, you know, when we were growing up, you know, everybody got tattoos probably because of him, cornrow and stuff like that. and it's not just because of basketball. I'll go with Dame next. I love Dame's game. Mm-hmm. I love Kyrie too, but Dame, just how much of a dog he is, I love it.
Yeah.
And he wants that last shot, and he wants the ball in his hand to end the game. And when he hits the shot, he acts like, you know, that's what he's supposed to do. Yeah. And so that's what I was about.
This is what I want to know, man. You know, you didn't clearly see your fair share of nice contracts when you was in the league.
Mm-hmm.
This question not about, like, you know, obviously you took care of mom, dude. You took care of home. Like, what did Bib do when you wanted to treat yourself? Like, after you got that bag and you know, you got this situation, you got that situation. I want to, like, you might look at it like it was dumb now that you a grown man. But, like, what did you do to treat yourself?
I went and got a Rolls Royce.
Double law.
That one time. The convertible. The drop head.
Ooh, the convertible drop head. What color?
Black.
Okay, so he with your vibes. I'll get white every
day. I had to go get that, man.
If you had a lot of teammates over your career, if you had to pick four other teammates to make a super five with you, who would be them other four teammates?
Any team you played on.
Joe Johnson, Weber.
ISO Joe.
Melo. LeBron and Wade.
Hey, hold up. He going to have a hell of a five. Like, that was
Is that five?
Yeah.
That was six.
Melo? That was six?
Because you include me? But, like, you still got a hell of a six man with whoever you want to put at six man. That man just said, damn. C-Webb, JoJo.
Melo.
Melo, LeBron, D-Wade.
So you got Webb at center.
Mm-hmm.
Bron at power forward.
Melo at the three.
Melo at the three. Joe Johnson at the two. No, D. Wade at the two.
Either one at the two or one.
Put Joe at two.
Let me ask you this, though. So, like, we know about the secret stash, the secret vault, and how you one of them people that went the extra yard to make sure it's some top flight security stuff sitting up there. What to you, if you had to pick one pair, what's your most coveted pair? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I know.
The one that you ain't gonna wear ever.
The only one
ever,
I got is like I got two pairs. Just like the online legendary. I got the one pair of the Eminem joints, the black and silver.
Jeter's
the fours. Is it the fours? I think it's the fours.
He got a two.
It's a four. Oh no, I got the two with the dollar right note. That ain't one of the ones. That's like out there like a 50,000. I'm talking about the ones.
I don't have nothing like 50,000.
I got the fours, the Eminem fours, and then I got the Derek Jeters.
I don't have
them. It came out. So you probably got the low cut because we all got the low cut. The suede joints with the shoe
You talking about the 11s.
The 11s, the low cut.
Yeah.
there's a mid pick.
Yeah, that's what I seen. I seen that.
I have that pick. That's damn. What we had. Dave, we had Jeter on here, and I was like, I got my pair. I was like, well, I and this is what, see, this is why for me it's like a big deal. Because I ain't never looked for shit. I ain't never asked for nothing. Yeah. I just got it. And I when I found out it was even worse, son, I was just like, oh okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I ain't never went that extra distance to try and get nothing. So to have, like I said, that Eminem pair, that pair, them was the ones. It's like when you look on the internet, like them some $1,000 shoes right there. It's like, oh shit. So like for you, what's your most? And we know you got stupid dumb heat. What's your most coveted pair?
I have. I mean, like I get stuff. And I just put the shit away. You know what I mean? Like I have so much in there that I don't even know what like I got.
Someday you gonna go look and you not even gonna you gonna trip yourself out on something.
Yes, I mean, like I don't. And I have a lot of them are still in the boxes, so I don't even like...
Everything is still in the boxes. Yeah. I don't throw boxes away or do the clear boxes. Everything is in the original box.
Playing Lego. That's what y'all be playing. Y'all be playing Legos with the boxes.
And this is the other thing. This is the other thing. Like, tell me, real life Legos has this,
with shoe boxes.
Tell me, has this happened to you before? Because this has literally happened to me a couple times now where you got so many shoes, you've had them for so long. It's been times I done went to the storage for different things to put something in there, and I'm just like, let me go through this, and I see something, like, man, I'm going to just take these, this other thing, I'm going to rock these, whatever. And you walk out of the motherfucker like the soul fall off or something. Yeah. Have you had that? Like,
all mine, I got, it's in air condition. So I've given shoes away before, and people like, damn, Mike, I said, the shoe's like 25 years old. Ain't nothing that can happen. They're going to fall apart. You know what I mean? But are these real? Yeah, they're real. Just old. They're old. Yeah. You know
real
what I mean?
Talk. Like, I'm talking about, I'm at downtown Disney Springs going to the movies with me and my wife, little day night. I was thanking God that, you know, it was like we got out at like 1 or whatever. I'm walking from the car to the garage to the valet, bro. The soul came out that joint. I'm walking. I'm like, I'm trying to make a key. I'm like, I'm just keep going until I get there. I'm like, boy, that boy just came. I had to pick it up. I say, fella, I had on a wrestling or a boxing shoe with no soul. I was like, boy, this cold blood.
So it's
like, I'm going to get some new shoes. I got to get a new pair. I say, this pair I pulled out was way too old. Good Lord.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, like some of my game shoes that I wear now still, like the bottom, like, yeah, it came off.
Do you remember the Jordan photo shoot we did here in Vegas at the, what was it, at the Hardwood Suite when we had the dominoes? It was like me, you was there. Joe was there. Rip, Ray, Finn.
I don't remember.
At the Hardwood Suites.
I remember the photo shoot we did in California, like on the beach. You did the one on the beach?
Yeah, that was an earlier one, but I'm talking about you was at the one here.
I don't remember
here.
That.
Bro, you was here. Josh Howard was here. Like, I remember your brother. We went out. tripping. It was at, was it the Palms? It was at the Palms. King's Hotel at the Hardwood
remember.
Suite.
I don't remember that photo shoot.
Bro. You in the pictures and everything in the magazine. We had the, you ain't never get the Jordan dominoes we got. We took from the shoot. Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. And we took the picture in the all black. You
know
what I'm
talking
about?
The suits.
Yeah,
and then we got that big ass.
I remember.
I'm talking about
the picture you showed me.
Like, boy, we all had the black suit outfits and it was like some gangster shit. Yeah, come on, bro. You was there. I'm not forgetting this. You were there.
I got a bad memory, man.
That was my experience with Team Down when I met your brother. I'm like, man, goddamn, it's how many of these are. Like, you know what I'm saying? And we all motivated and moving together. I'm like, but like that was a fire shoot. Like CP was there. You remember CP, Ray? They had all of the, and then Mike was there. Like, it was like, it's crazy. This is like the, you know what I'm saying? This was like one of them ones.
That was a good one right there. I do remember that too.
We back in the place where it started. This man been to Vegas too many times. We had the legendary, the big time. We got Team Dime in the building, Arizona's finest, man. Mike Bibby
in the building.
Tune in. I want to thank y'all for your continued support of the Knuckleheads Podcast. Be sure to give us 2 taps by writing a review and rating 5 stars wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on the Players Tribune YouTube page. Follow us on social media at Knuckleheads Podcast. And join our Knuckleheads Facebook group for exclusive content. Thanks again to all of our guests and fans. This wouldn't be possible without y'all.
ThePlayersTribune.com